podcast stuff. We're punk rock stuff.
Punk rock stuff.
Welcome to a very special edition of Get in the Van.
We just saw the Weirdos and the Get Greg Turner Group playing at Zebulon in Atwater Village. An afternoon show.
An afternoon punk show.
Punk is not dead, but it's using a mobility scooter.
Yeah. It might be on life support. Definitely hearing aids. Wow. Twisted Cat mentioned to me at one point that she thought that I might be the youngest person in the crowd. And I said, no. Some of these folks brought their 20-something kids.
I did take a picture of the guy in the mobility scooter, by the way.
Oh, excellent. I thought you might have. I thought I saw that, but yeah. I wasn't positive. Yeah.
But I hadn't seen Greg in his current lineup, and I very much enjoyed them.
Yes, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm mostly going to let you talk. I don't know what to even say other than it was very enjoyable. The opening band was pretty rough, but we weren't there to see them anyway.
Right. And it was, you know, just like most bands that I've ever seen opening for various iterations of Greg. So Greg Turner, of course, is Greg Turner of the Angry Samoans of 1979 and 1980s kind of fame.
Punk fame,
sure. It's a niche market. West Coast punk. Full disclosure, I managed the Angry Samoans for a brief amount of time. Anyway, Greg Turner's songwriting remains up to par.
Quirky, but very solid. Like, his melodies and just the music is really catchy. I'm kind of disappointed that he hasn't been more, not prolific, but, like, more recognized.
Yeah,
His stuff is good.
Sure. Well, and the Angry Samoans themselves always suffered from an issue of lack of publicity, partly because they wrote a song that made Rodney on the Rocks feel like he was being threatened, called Get Off the Air. Anyway... So they were actually blacklisted in L.A. for a number of years until they were finally allowed to play the Coconut Teaser of all places, but they couldn't play anywhere else in L.A.
That's rough.
But hey, that's where Green Day opened for them.
Yeah, well.
And yeah. L7. Anyway.
Piss off Biggenheimer in L.A.
It was something that entertained me even back then. Anyway, so I think Greg mostly does music for his own enjoyment. He's a math professor by day. He's...
Soundcheck tracks. 1, 2, 3, pi, square of 7.
This was the last show on his tour. And when I talked to him before the show, he said he was very tired. For me, it's always a little hard to tell with Greg, because the only way you can tell tired and not tired is not tired. He's telling more stories.
Got it.
Well, he used to write for Cream, and he is an amazing storyteller. So, yeah. But
Cream, Cream not the band?
No, Cream the music magazine from the 80s.
Gotcha.
He has many, many stories, including a really entertaining one involving, as I wave my hands...
Those people.
The guy. Anyway. He also has a really good story about tarantulas. Anyway, back to the show. You are not here for a history lesson in punk rock.
Though if you are, leave us a comment and we'll talk about it.
Because we certainly can. But yeah, I thought the set was solid. The sound at the venue was the sound at a punk rock show, you know.
On a Sunday afternoon.
On a Sunday afternoon, although I suspect on a Sunday evening it would be quite similar. They had a guy sit in with them for one song on lead guitar whose name has fallen out of my head.
Phineas something.
Yes. He's apparently well known, although apparently not by me.
He was good.
He was really good, but it fucked up the balance of the sound.
Yeah, he was up too high.
Yeah. But yeah, he was good. And I mean, the kid they have most of the time was good, too.
Yes, but bored stiff.
He wasn't, though. He just has that flat affect like Greg does.
Okay, fine.
Because, I mean, he said, you know, yeah, it's an honor to play with this band.
Yeah.
So. They played a Rocky Erickson cover. Greg may be the biggest Rocky Erickson fan I have ever met. So that was good.
Only one? I thought there were two.
He dedicated the next one to Rocky. Which may or may not have been the Vampire Dog song.
May or may not. I don't recall that.
I don't remember. I took videos. They'll be up at some point on YouTube. Although I missed most of the introductions. So there you go. They spent way too much time tuning. I don't know. You haven't seen Greg before, so...
I mean, I went in with low expectations. It was a Sunday afternoon random-ass punk show. though I trust Twisted Cat, so we went. The opener, I did not enjoy at all. But Greg and his band, I enjoyed quite a bit. The songwriting was entertaining. They were, their sound was way better than the opener.
Yeah.
I don't know what the singer, and I use that term very loosely. I don't know what the singer for the opener was doing. I think he was confused about what style of music he was singing and was going for death metal, but he's also, you know, 50s on the low end, and like, yeah, he really needed to be like coaching t-ball somewhere.
See, I felt like he was entertaining, but I've seen so many punk shows that, like,
he was entertaining in a laugh at, not a laugh with kind of way. I mean, he had the tattoos and he had the t-shirt and the spiky belt.
Sure.
And he had his blue jeans rolled up just right.
Right.
Like, he
someone had coached him on
that. He was checking boxes.
Okay. I did enjoy their Ramones cover.
Oh, it was like, it was a dirge to the Ramones.
Occasionally the Ramones were a dirge to the Ramones, if you want to be fair.
Sure. But that was like part of the chic. Part of the shtick. I did not particularly care for the opener. But the Greg Turner Band was very good.
Yes, go pick up their album.
They have a new album. Phineas is the lead guitar on the whole new album.
Yes. Highly recommend.
The number that they played was a fairly bluesy ballad. And he had yes. Yes, I can absolutely see that man playing blues very, very well.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, the set showcased, like, the range of the stuff that Greg writes, you know? There was some very punk stuff, there was the bluesy thing, you know, Some goofy stuff. Greg's always good at that, too. So, yeah, I mean, I had fun. I think it was a good use of my Sunday afternoon. Although, you know, daytime punk shows are a little bit like day drinking.
I mean, if you're into that sort of thing... I like a good day drink.
Well, I used to like a good day drink. I used to go to punk shows at all day, time of day and night. I can talk, really.
And as long as we're doing a very special edition of...
Yeah.
I randomly...
yes.
It's the day of, or the weekend of random-ass shows. A friend of mine had an extra ticket to They Might Be Giants at the Wiltern. So I went and saw They Might Be Giants... sadly sans Twisted Cat at the Wiltern on Friday, and boy, that was a great show. That was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm a TMBG fan. This was the postponed show from October 2020 for the 30-year anniversary of Flood. Yes, you heard me right. The 30-year anniversary of Flood.
As if I didn't feel old enough after that show that we just saw.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was wonderful. The crowd was super into it. I posted two videos that I took. I did a video of the racist friend. And a video, obviously, of Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Sure.
Because how do you not?
Right.
And they were really good. They were, like, so I came to a realization shortly after the show that there was a split in East Coast punk in the 80s between the science nerds and the philosophy nerds. And that's where you get bands like They Might Be Giants, clearly the MIT crowd, and Bad Religion, clearly the philosophy crowd. And so it entertained me greatly to there was a group of, again, 50-somethings standing just in front of me. And they were all, you know, the tall, thin, skinny, several of them were balding, all wearing glasses, sort of JPL or database or, you know, some financial institution type guys, right? And they're there and they're singing all the songs and they know every song because they played stuff other than Flood. They played a lot of their earlier stuff. They just released an album a couple of years ago, so they were playing some of their newer stuff as well. And their closer was a song called Dr. Worm, which, if I had heard before, I was unaware of it. I am still unaware of it, but it wasn't a bad song. It was just not one that I knew. But these guys in front of me were all super pumped and started pogoing. And I'm like, oh, this is math nerd and science punk. Got it. So it was a moment of realization for me. Like, I knew that, you know, TMBG is obviously nerd rock.
Sure.
But I didn't realize it was nerd punk. So it was great. It was a lot of fun.
I have to say, just as an interjection, it entertains me greatly that you think of Bad Religion as an East Coast band, because they have always been a West Coast band to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was under the impression that, what's his name? Out of my head.
Right.
Their singer. I was under the impression that he was like an East Coast Cambridge philosophy major.
Founder of Epitaph Records.
Oh. Well, that makes an awful lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a Bad Religion fan, but I was never a big fan. I don't know an awful lot about them.
Yeah. Well, and it probably wouldn't have stuck with me if he hadn't had a big rivalry with Greg Turner.
Philosophy nerds and math nerds butting heads again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and professors at that, because,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, really hilarious.
I love that punk is educated.
Yeah.
Well, half of it.
But, I mean, you've also got, like, Rollins.
Yeah.
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 So. Yeah.
I think that's all I've got.
Okay, very cool. One of the shows we have coming up in May, and oh my god, there are so many shows in May, is Cake.
Yes.
So you will have yet another very special edition of not of our usual hard rock stuff. But yeah. And I mean, the Violent Femmes, do the Violent Femmes count as anything we usually do? No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, they're gonna be another punk show.
Yeah, yeah.
Ish.
And you'll get to hear more history, because I partied with them when I was 15.
Oh, I forgot but that's not until like August, right?
No, that's next month. That's in May. There are so, many shows concerts. In May.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes. Yes.
I'm looking forward to all of them. Everything that we... So, this is the only random outlier that's been on my radar for a while. Everything else is going to be fucking good. Solid. I know it. I know it.
Yeah.
So, very excited for what's coming up. I hope you are, too.
And we're going to be interviewing Stephanie Cabral.
Yes, that's
metal
very
photographer.
Exciting. Oh, I need to do some technical...
Yeah, yeah. Because that will be a video one. Since she's a photographer, we might want to show some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie Cabral, photographer of the stars? Something like that.
Or the metal stars, anyway.
Yeah, I'll work on that. I'll come up with a better answer.
All right, anyway, so we are getting close to our destination of home. So I'm going to say, get in the van!
Get in the van! We're doing podcast stuff!